coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
Any of your listeners right now that are moms, you know that feeding your family is something you wake up thinking about. It's something you go to bed thinking about. And for some of us, we think about it as, oh, I wonder if so-and-so wants this for dinner tomorrow night. That feels like a luxury for the women in Beirut right now.
Hey friends, welcome back to Compassion Radio. Yesterday, Sandy began a conversation with Trevina Cassis of the refugee ministry called Together for the Family in Lebanon, and joined by our friend and Trevina's project partner, Belinda Bauman of 1 Million Thumbprints. Trevina and her teams have been in the wrong place at exactly the right time, bringing essential relief to the tens of thousands left homeless after the massive port explosion of August 4th, 2020. When government corruption and ineptitude have frozen most relief channels, the need for reliable, honest NGOs has never been greater. Thankfully, we've got some experience finding just the right people, God's people, at the critical moments in history. And you, friends, have a role to play. We'll tell you how later in the broadcast. We'll start off today with Belinda explaining how God orchestrated that divine appointment that led to this unlikely and powerful partnership.
I met and fell deeply in love with Trevina's mother, Izdahar, who you mentioned earlier. Izdahar and I quickly became soulmates because Izdahar has three qualities that any partner that 1 Million Thumbprints takes on has. Mm. She is a female executive director of her own organization that is allied with faith in Christ, but also opens her doors to help anyone and all people who God has created. Mm-hmm. That generosity of heart, that deep focus on mission attracted me to Izdahar immediately. Mm-hmm. And as a woman executive director in Lebanon, in Syria, in that region of the world, it's unusual.
Right.
And she is a good leader, as well as her director of operations, which is Trevina. So we have a mother-daughter, as well as Izdahar's sister, who also has her own organization. They are doing really very strategic work with a demographic that's hard to reach.
Right.
The second thing I know about Izdahar is if there is a job to do, she will do it. If she doesn't have the funds, she will do it on faith.
Mm-hmm.
She will call things out by prayer that are genuine miracles. And that is the kind of partner I want to partner with.
Right.
And you know that about her. You saw her do it.
I've seen her in action.
And the final thing I know about Izdahar and about Trevina together is that they do things excellently.
Mm-hmm.
So what Trevina hasn't said is that as she's studied, she is studying nutrition and basic health intersections for nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
She is navigating at an expert level with a degree from the Lebanese American University, healthcare and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
She is the exact right person to be navigating this moment, the deepest felt need of those at ground zero in Beirut right now is food.
Right.
And Sandy, you and I both know the burden of food lands squarely on the shoulders of women across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So any of your listeners right now that are moms, any of your listeners that are grandmas right now, you know that feeding your family is something you wake up thinking about. It's something you go to bed thinking about. And for some of us, we think about it as, oh, I wonder if so-and-so wants this for dinner tomorrow night. That feels like a luxury for the women and for the caregivers in Beirut right now. Their thought when they go to bed tonight is, how do I break bread with my family tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Partnering for years with Together for the Families as genuine partners. We support them with mentoring as well as they support us with cultural and growth mindset mentoring. So we understand what their needs are. They understand what our needs are. We meet each other at the same table.
Mm-hmm.
The table that they're sitting at right now, Sandy, is a rough one, right? The 80%, the lira or the money exchange there has decreased 80%. So if we translate that into the bread that Trevina just talked about, what cost a family less than $2 before the explosion, because the government was subsidizing access to bread and milk and cheese and beans, mm-hmm. now costs them between $6 and $7. A gallon of milk is over $10. Mm-hmm. And it is because there is no work and because there is such dire food security issues because of the port, there are people going to bed hungry in Beirut, which is a world-class city right now.
Yeah.
And we want to help them.
So I just want us to really focus on what that looks like for a family. We go to a grocery store here in America, and we have innumerable choices for a loaf of bread. It can be overwhelming to decide which kind of bread you want. And we get a little bothered when we see expensive bread that is $3, $4 a loaf. We have also multiple choices of milk, even. What kind of milk do you want to buy? I know that in Beirut especially, but in Lebanon right now, you have one bread and milk, period. There is no real choices. You just hope that there's some there when you go, and that you have the money to purchase it. So thinking about a very basic loaf of bread between $6 and $7, that is a very overwhelming prospect for someone trying to feed their family. The fact that their currency is so devalued right now makes it even harder. They're not working because their places of employment, especially in the blast zone, are completely destroyed. So that's something that's hard for us to get hold of and wrap our minds around here in America, because we think even if there is a devastation that happens, like we know there are hurricanes that are barreling toward our Gulf Coast right now, and those people are in grave danger of being flooded and their houses being destroyed. But for the most part, their livelihoods will remain intact and there will be government support to help them. Not so in Lebanon right now. They have experienced a huge devastation in a country that is already at such a brink of despair and loss that it's going to take years to recover. That's why we at Compassion Radio are so grateful and so supportive of people like Trevina and Istihar with Together for the Families that are already on the ground in Lebanon, already doing an amazing work and a good work from their hearts to support people and to encourage people. We are thrilled to be a part of that. We are thrilled to encourage and support them. And that's another reason that we want to bring to light the things that are happening there. And on the flip side of that, to have someone here in America that is partnering with them and makes it easy for them to access the funds they need, 1 Million Thumbprints is doing exactly that. So this is a perfect partnership. This is a perfect way to say, I want to be part of this and I want to jump on board. What is the greatest need other than just praying for you?
We've had several larger gifts, which we're super thankful for. But right now, we're working hard to raise $4,000, mm-hmm. hopefully by the end of the week, if at all possible. Trevina and the team are making sure that folk are getting equate roughly to $30 our money. If you were grocery shopping and calculating $30 from your grocery list and decide that you can spare that by giving to Lebanon, that $30 can actually translate to food and shelter. Trevina and the team are doing visits with the families and with the churches that they're working with, making sure that their mental health and their soul care is happening as well. Mm-hmm. So it's much more than we can actually help the heroes that are on the ground in Lebanon, mm-hmm. not just survive, but to respond in their own way to the crisis in their country. Can we help them help other people? It would be a huge gift to us. Mm. Every $30 that would come in translate to bread, cheese, milk, beans, canned food.
Very needed supplies for them.
Exactly. Your words are not light, Sandy, when you say finding a true partner on the ground doing the work is such a gift of God. We consider Together for the Families family and trust them 100%.
Well, having seen the work that they do on the ground in Lebanon, that they are very committed to the people of Lebanon and to the people that God brings to their doors. I've seen the way they love on those families. When you know that the people who are doing the work are committed to the people that they are serving. But the thing that I want to highlight again, and Trevina, you mentioned this, and it just absolutely blesses my heart to hear this, that you guys are taking refugees, Syrian refugees, are volunteering to go and give back to this country that has taken them in. They've experienced things like this in their own country because of war and mismanagement. And so they know how the people of Beirut are feeling. They know how this is affecting them. Let me ask you this. What has this done for them, for those Syrian refugees that are going in? How has this affected them in their process, in their walk toward healing from the trauma they've already experienced?
Many of them who do volunteer to go down to Beirut and help, as we talk to many of them after they came back, they would say, you know, we've seen a lot of destruction. We've seen a lot of things going on. We've lived through war, but we have never seen anything like this.
Hmm.
And that makes us, in a sense, feel, you know, we haven't either. Beirut has been destroyed and rebuilt 3 times. And it was never something like this. Mm. It was always something expected, you know, an expected war, an expected situation, an expected anything political. But no one ever expected the third biggest explosion to happen in the city of Beirut. And Beirut as a capital has been seen for many years in the Middle East as the capital of enjoyment, the capital of restaurants, of summers, of vacations, of beaches, of freedom, of parties. And it being destroyed brings a sting and pain to every Arab heart in the Middle East, not just Lebanese. As Syrians saw Lebanon as a refuge place, but they also saw it as a place to come for vacation before their war.
Right.
Jordanians saw it as a place of freedom and a place to eat at restaurants, enjoy good food. Saudis, people from Dubai, Qatar, all around the Gulf used to come to Lebanon every summer to spend their vacations. So it wasn't only home for several Arabs, but it was also a second home and a vacation spot that leaves many, many good memories in their hearts.
You know, Sandy, the day after the explosion, I was looking through the news feeds and I saw an article with a headline, Lebanon will never be the same.
Mm.
And the image that was front and center was of, you know, those protective cement guards that go up at a disaster site.
Mm-hmm.
Right across it was spray painted the words, "Goodbye, Beirut."
Mm.
And it hit my heart, as I know the thought of Beirut never being the same hits Trevina's. The thing is, what we know and what I hear in Trevina's voice, what I hear in the team's reports, is the depth of resilience that the Lebanese people have in rebuilding their city 3 times already. Even as Trevina said, for us to place our hope in the God that has given Lebanese and Syrian refugees this level of resilience, I feel like it is the exact right place for us to make our investments right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, having seen that beautiful city, I agree with you, Belinda. My heart just broke to see the pictures of the devastation. Having walked those streets, having seen the beauty of it, seeing all the people from different places in the world that were there and see the enjoyment that they were having, and now knowing that it's not a safe place now. It is a very scary place for a lot of people, and not knowing exactly how it's going to play out and how it's going to be rebuilt is probably scary for those who live there as well. And I can imagine the trauma that the people that are living there, that are living through this disaster, are having to deal with, and maybe not even understanding that they're dealing with it at this point. I know from what we've talked about in the past about the work that 1 Million Thumbprints is doing in Lebanon, along with Together with the Families, you do trauma camps. Is that something that you are looking forward to incorporating into the recovery efforts in Beirut as well?
Yes, we usually focus our trauma camps on Syrian refugees and especially Syrian refugee youth who have experienced the war. But this year we are switching up our programs to focus on the trauma that happened in Beirut and after the explosion. We are looking into specific projects we can do that we will communicate with 1 Million Thumbprints about, definitely. But we are still studying the situation on the long-term effect of this blast on individuals, especially children and youth who haven't experienced war, haven't been through anything, and then suddenly felt a whole house shake or felt their window fall over their heads. We are working on that area and that specific sector of people, but we hope to be able to connect with them. And we're just studying it in the sense that we cannot have conferences right now with the pandemic. We are hoping for online one-on-one sessions, but we are still studying that from a logistical point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you brought up the pandemic because I want to go there for just a second. This is a worldwide event that's happening and it has affected every person that you come in contact with. How has COVID-19 affected your ability to work with the refugees and with the people in Beirut?
Like every country in the world, COVID-19 has put some restraints on everyone's work. We had problems working with the Syrian refugees before the blast, but we figured that out by bringing 5 kids at a time to our center. So 5 kids come, 5 kids leave. That's for our education center game. Same goes for our sewing school. So 5 women come and then 5 women leave. Mm-hmm. And we figured that out until the point of the blast happened. And, you know, when something as big as this happens in a country, one thing cancels the other. Mm. A blast with hundreds dead and thousands injured beats a pandemic in our standards right now. People kind of forgot about COVID, forgot about what was going on and the whole social distancing thing and just wanted to help out. Mm-hmm. So after the past, our numbers of COVID-19 increased drastically. So we had numbers such as 20 cases per day. Now we have around 700 cases per day. Mm. It is increasing drastically. And with the economic situation happening, a lockdown is not the best way to go at it. We are currently in a lockdown. It started a few days ago, but businesses are refusing to close their doors because they need the money. Mm-hmm. We cannot close stores. We cannot not go to work and we cannot not help people out. So we are taking, as a team, as Together for the Family, we're taking all precaution measures, wearing masks, hand washing, hygiene. All our staff are educated on the importance of social distancing and all of that. But still, the need is much greater than us thinking about ourselves regarding a pandemic that may or may not show symptoms and may or may not affect us. Mm-hmm.
So essentially, you're putting your own health at risk so that you can help the people that you know need it most.
Yes. And it's not just Together for the Family. It's every Lebanese on the ground today. Mm-hmm. Every Lebanese citizen is putting their health on a pause and saying there are much more important things to do right now. I may or may not be infected, but that person in front of me, I know for sure is hungry. Mm-hmm. And I know for sure needs a doctor. And I know most certainly needs someone to fix their house.
Sandy, if I could just pan out to a 30,000 foot view of what Trevina just said. When you think about it, this is the disaster happening in the middle of a crisis, mm-hmm. a very complex crisis. You heard us talking about Lebanon before and now Lebanon after. And disasters are usually marked by a moment. And Lebanon before was in a deep economic downturn. There was political strife. There was international strife. And the refugee issue, not just Syrian refugees, Lebanon has been home to many, many refugees for many years, right. has put strain on all of the multi-sectorial support systems that happen for the work that Trevina and Izdahar are trying to do. Now, there's this moment of explosion, which becomes the disaster. Mm-hmm. And that complicates. And now we also have to layer it with COVID. And that moment of disaster happening within a crisis now has a spiritual battle level to it.
If I can just talk really honestly,
as someone of faith right now that says, oh my goodness, Jesus, folk were having a hard time putting food on their table and getting work before the explosion. Then the explosion happens. And now we also have increasing levels of COVID. When we ask you as our good Father to give us bread, do you give us a stone? When we ask you for fish, do you give us a snake? And Jesus's answer was, he will not do that. But one of the ways that he meets that need, that gut cry that comes from us when you're in a crisis, in the middle of a disaster that now has almost a supernatural dimension to it, you kind of go, wait, where is the provision going to come from? And as we have spoken here again and again, I really believe that the church rising up at this moment on a number of levels, but even for the good people in Lebanon right now, is part of Jesus's answer for not receiving a stone instead of a loaf of bread, not receiving a snake instead of a fish, that the scriptures right now have very real living consequences to how we respond to people across the world that are living a disaster in the middle of a crisis.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Yes, in the middle of a pandemic. Yep.
Belinda, would you give us a web address where we can send our listeners to go and help with this crisis?
We feel like one of the most faithful places we can be is to help partner financially with Together for the Families. And we've done so with a very generous supporter who has offered to cover all of our overhead costs. So whatever gift is given by your folk, 100% of it will go to Ground Zero, to Izdahar and Trevena, and Together for Their Families, so that it can translate very concretely into food and health and locks and doors and windows and security for people at Ground Zero right now. We've made it super easy. Text the word Help the Heroes to 71777. And they will get a text message that'll direct them to the website where they can give. Or if they want to go to our website directly, they can go to www.thumbprints.org or 1millionthumbprints.org, whatever comes up quicker for them. Up at the top, they'll have a pop-up that says 1 Million Thumbprints Response to the Lebanese Crisis. If they just click on that, it'll take them immediately to a full description of the response that we're making in country right now, and make it very easy for them to give a tax deductible receipted gift to 1 Million Thumbprints that we then translate into gifts to Together for the Families for food, security, and healthcare.
I hope that we'll have people that will do that, that will go to that website and give what they can to help this crisis in Lebanon, or that will text Help the Heroes to 71777 or 1millionthumbprints.org. Ladies, I just want to thank you again for your time here with me today on Compassion Radio. I am just so encouraged by the work that you're doing, Trevena, and the work that God has called you to and the partnership that you have with them, Belinda. It's a beautiful thing to see and to be part of. We are grateful for you and thrilled to be part of it and to get the word out so that people know what you're doing and people can have a very tangible way to be part of the solution in helping the people of Beirut. So thank you for being on Compassion Radio today.
Thank you for Compassion Radio, for always telling the truth bravely and for making the gospel real in the headlines. Whatever is in the headlines, the gospel is there, and you guys are so good at helping your folk access that very real walk that we have to do as Christians in the world today. Trevena, your update was fantastic, my friend, for just being so good at this.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you guys for all that you are doing to help our people here. None of it would translate into real life without your support. Talk is easy. but doing is hard.
You're the ones that are boots on the ground, getting your hands dirty with all of it. Please give my best to your mom and your dad as well.
Thank you.
I just enjoyed our time in your home so much. Just know, too, that we have been praying and will continue to pray for your safety and for the ministry that you are just so passionate about. We love what you're doing. We will ask the Lord to provide all that you need and abundantly more than you could hope for even.
Thank you.
Friends, I hope you follow through and reach out to Help Together for the Family and 1 Million Thumbprints today. The need is urgent, of course, and the opportunity is straightforward. Compassion Radio partners like you have stepped up multiple times in the past 30 years to make a real gospel-powered difference in crises like these. Beyond what you hear today, here's our commitment to the cause for the rest of this month. Every single penny beyond our baseline budget is going to help them reach their goal of $4,000 in immediate food relief in the worst-hit areas of Beirut. You know about it because you heard about it here on Compassion Radio. Thanks for keeping us at the heart of these Great Commission and Great Compassion stories. Remember, this relief is flowing through the hands of committed Christian believers in Lebanon in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Thanks for giving above and beyond this month to make miracles happen. Call 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And jump in anytime at CompassionRadio.com. We're waiting for you, friends. Hop on board.